Now, I want to talk to you for a moment or two, as it has come to my heart, concerning the first fruits. Could you turn with me to James' epistle? In the first chapter of James, 18 or 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, beloved, let us know quite carefully that first fruits in verse 18 is connected with the good gift and the perfect gift in verse 17, which came down from above and still is from above. And with the Father, there's no variableness in this, and there's not a shadow of his turning from it throughout all the rest of this great age, which started with the good and perfect gift coming down from above on the day of Pentecost. They heard from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and lo, the church of Jesus Christ was born. Mm-hmm. And Father, who begat that church of his own will, it's of his own will, it was begotten on the earth, it wasn't of man's will, it wasn't even of the disciples' will, they were all for running away. They were all for going back to their former occupations. I go fishing, says Peter. We go with you, says John, another fisherman. And so on. They were all for going back. But they tarried in Jerusalem. And down from above came the good and perfect gift. Hallelujah. And there's been no variation of that, and there will be no variation of that, right through to the end of time. And that church was the very great first fruits unto the Lord. Now, the Lord is not varying this at all, at any time, right until the end. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2, and let's read it for ourselves. In the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, then, we shall see this great truth, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you will remember that Jesus said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And it filled all the house where they were. They were gathered in his name. Jesus had said, you are to go and tarry at Jerusalem. And there came the great sound from the Father above. Hallelujah. The Father of lights. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And you're one of the lights that he's a father of. Is that right? Mm. If you've come in this way, beloved, into the glory, a full blazing glory of the indwelling Spirit, Hallelujah, you're one of the great lights in this world. He's the Father of lights, and he's not varying from this at all. He will not vary in this process. He will not vary in one iota. There's not a shadow of his turning from it. He won't have modern ideas about it. He won't have divisive talking about it. He won't have partial bits of it. He will have this. He's not turning from it. He won't turn to suit us. He won't accommodate himself to our ideas. You have to be as he wants us to be. We all have to be. Glory be to God. And as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. This is the great revelation. Praise his wonderful name. Because you see, the very first fruit from the dead was Jesus. On the day of resurrection, he rose, and he was that great light. Himself a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He was that great light that came into the world. And we've all got to be lights as he is light. That great, glorious one that's gone back to the throne, having been crucified, dead, and buried. This is the way you come into it. Crucified, dead, buried, glory, so that you could be a great light in this world. Not showing yourself off, not revealing yourself, whether it be your mind or your body or your spirit or anything. You're not here to show your position, possessions, or party, or anything. We are here to be lights in this world. Glory be to the name. And the Father is only the Father of lights. He's not the Father of darknesses. Amen. He's not the Father of dimness either. He's the Father of lights. Hallelujah. And he's my Father because I am light. Or else he's not my Father at all. And I am not light unless I am light as the early church was light. All filled with the Holy Ghost. They all began to speak in other tongues. And praise God that the true church has never ceased to. That's right. They don't make a beginning and then have to come to a conference 12 months after. Excuse me, I've just been to our summer conference. But they don't have to come to a conference 12 months and say, well, I did speak in tongues 12 months ago, Mr. North, but what's happened to it? Where's it gone? Hallelujah. Something's gone wrong. You begin and you continue as you begin. God always begins as he means to continue. Hallelujah. I've said this to many young couples when they come to me, as so many, many have, for talks about this, and especially when families are concerned. I always say to them, now, you begin as you mean to go on, my love. You just begin as you intend to continue, right the way through. So sit down and weigh it all up and think it through, how you're going to conduct your home and family. That's the way to begin. And then continue, praise the name of the Lord. And this is a great truth. Now then, you will remember that it's in this same James epistle. Let's go back in this great, same, glorious epistle. You are told this, verse 7 of the 5th chapter. Now, brethren, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. See, but the coming of the Lord in you. When the ascending of the Lord, and then here we are, we're now brought to the coming of the Lord. When the Lord ascended, he established this, came down from the Father of lights. This was what the Lord did on the day of Pentecost. Now we're here at the coming of the Lord, and you will remember that this great coming of the Lord was associated with the ascension of the Lord in Acts chapter 1 verse 11. When they followed the Lord Jesus out as far as to Bethany, you will remember. It doesn't say it there, but he was caught up. They saw him ascending, and the angels came down, and they said to them, what are you standing here for, gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go up into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Then they went back to Jerusalem, and God began the great earth program. Until the coming of the Lord. And in this great truth, you're to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Now listen, the husbandman, and who's the husbandman? Well, my Father's the husbandman, said Jesus. That right? John chapter 15. The husbandman waited for the precious fruits of the earth. Alleluia. You see? And hath long patience for it until he received the early rain. That was on the day of Pentecost. And the latter rain. All right? And the blessed husbandman is waiting up, beloved. And we're in days when the rain, it may be the last great rain of God and his mercy is falling from heaven. And listen, we've got to be exactly the same as it began in the beginning. Because all through this age, it's the first fruits. The first fruits are never gathered until both the early and the latter rain has fallen. That's right, the latter rain's always given for the ingathering of the harvest. The early rain is given for the sowing of the seed. The latter rain is given for the ingathering of the harvest. And praise the name of the Lord Jesus, beloved. You and I have got to be lights in this world. Nobody's a light until they're a light as they were a light on the day of Pentecost and in the early church. No one. You see, Father doesn't vary. He's not a shadow of turning from it. He hasn't even thought of changing his mind. He hasn't even imagined anything different. It's this. Glory be to God. Are you like the early church was? If not, beloved, then there's something radically wrong in our experiences. There's no variation of this. Glory be to God. There isn't a 20th century church as opposed to a 1st century church. Or a 19th century church as opposed to the 21st century church. Or 17th century church. Or what you will. There's only one church. It's got nothing to do with centuries. It's got to do with the will of God. No centuries about that. Aeons and aeons and aeons and aeons and aeons and eternities, that's all. In the will of God. And here's the tremendous truth then. Are you a first fruit? Are you one kind of first fruits of his creatures? Are you? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? He didn't say, have you had an experience? Are you presently now filled with the Holy Ghost? Does your heart spontaneously leap up with glory at the realization of an experience from heaven when God had come down on you and transformed you and glory, you felt yourself part, integrated into the great harvest, when you had an experience like a glorious death and burial and resurrection and ascension and sitting down and being crowned there inside? This is what it's all about. Fruits. First fruits, not second rate fruits. Not third rate, not fourth rate. First. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, that sweet first plucking of the fruit by God. The fruit of Jesus' death and resurrection, the reward for all, the recompense for pains and sufferings, the glory, the light out of the darkness. Oh, glory! This is the great truth. It's what Father's getting out of it, this great husbandman. I want to tell you that death and resurrection of Jesus is so precious to Jesus, Father, that Father's husbanding it. Nothing of it's lost. Nothing. Not a crumb. Jesus gave the demonstration when he fed 5,000. Nothing lost. He was speaking Father's heart. Gather up the fragments. Don't let anything be lost. Not anything that I've done. Not anything that I've given. Nothing lost. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Father, then that thou hast given me, I've lost nothing. Amen. As a matter of fact, he sowed into the ground like that, beloved. And if one man can use one talent and make it ten, Jesus has used his one old person and talents and pound and gifts and personality and life and blood and death. He's used it to husband in millions upon millions. You can read about them. He didn't wrap it in a napkin and lie in the ground. He left the napkin behind when they went into the tomb. That's right. It was there, gone. Left behind. Praise him. And this is the great glory, beloved. Is it like that with thee this morning? Hallelujah. What fruits are these, beloved? You talk about the fruit of the Spirit. This is the first fruit of the Spirit. Unto Father, not to you. First fruits are to God. You can have the fruit of the Spirit afterwards. Hallelujah. Oh, it's what God, the Father's got out of this tremendous sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. He doesn't bear it. You must be filled with the Spirit. You must be pure as God is pure. You must be holy. You must be separate. You must live for Jesus Christ or you've betrayed him. You've got something of the Judas in you, the serpent. Got to come out. There's no amelioration of this. There's no toning down. There's no variableness. It doesn't vary. It doesn't vary in the 20th century from the first century. Amen. If it does vary, then the 20th century church is wrong. And if you're not like it was in the Acts of the Apostles, then you're in sin. Or an insufficient experience. You must get your heart purified. God doesn't vary. There are no pleas to bring. There are no pleas. The final word's been spoken. God listens to nothing but the pleading of that blood. Amen. There isn't any bearing. You say, don't he hear my prayers? Yes, providing you don't come and lie in them. But talk like that blood talks. That's right. It's got to be consistent with that blood. That blood says everything. Total. That's what that blood is saying. Glory. Utter destruction of sin. That's what that blood is saying, isn't it? Utmost purity, isn't it? That's what it's saying. Complete sacrifice, isn't it? That's what it's saying. Amen. That's what that blood is saying, or else I've never heard it. Amen. No variableness, beloved. God doesn't wobble. He's not eccentric. He doesn't get off the center. Moves without a turning. Glory. He comes to you and he says, here is my standard. Here is what I do. This is my life that I lay down. I am determined to husband the full crop. I am determined to husband the last grape on my vine. I'm prepared. I'm going to. I'm husbanding it. Hallelujah. Will you let God be your husband? Will you? Will you let him husband you? Ooh, for early and the latter rain. Glory. Doesn't matter how late it is in your life, beloved. It's time it happened. It happened now. Glory, glory, glory. Read Acts 2. Let's read it again. We've already looked at it. Here then is the picture of the first fruits. And we've got to go on. I know we can't stop in it. It goes through 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hallelujah. Will you read it yourself? Say, this is what I'm supposed to be living like this. This is me. If you're not, then confess to God that you've fallen so far short. And get back there. Stay not in thy sorrow grieving. Look up and see him interceding at the right hand of God. This is the great truth. And move in. Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Verse 11, in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. You've heard lots of sermons around those two statements, that question and the answer. What meaneth this? These men are full of new wine. Now I want to give you perhaps something you've never heard before. It meant that Father was gathering in the first fruit. It began. And so I present, when I come before him, Christ, the first fruit unto God. Do you? I tell you, you will not present Christ the first fruits unless you represent Christ the first fruits in your experience. Hallelujah. It isn't a matter of mental suasion or jugglery. It isn't a matter of the meaning and intention of my heart, though that must certainly be there. It is a matter of whether I am a light as he was the great light, whether Father has fathered me into glorious transparency. Nobody is transparent unless they are spirit, as God is spirit. And a man must be filled with spirit, the Holy Spirit. Then he's transparent. His outer life will take on the hue and the glory of the inward spirit. Amen. He will become transparent. As the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost, so all a man's outward life will be holy. Amen. As the Holy Ghost is the powerful ghost, excuse me, that's right, spirit, powerful spirit, you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. That's really the Greek in Acts 1:8. You shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. That's right. That's the actual Greek of it. what Jesus said. And so, as the Spirit is power, your life will become power. Transparently powerful. Transparently loving. Transparently holy. Transparently, because now you're taking on the nature of the Spirit within you. Is that right? That's where it lies. This is what it's all about. The Father of lights. Let's go back. James 1. You'll have to have it as it's flowing, beloved. I will tell you that God burned this into me while I was asleep. You must come. James. And in James, we read again. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now don't go wrong on this. Don't you go wrong on this. If the church, if a church, a local church, or the church militant isn't like this, then beloved, don't you go wrong. They've gone wrong. You're not to. Father hasn't turned. Tell me, if God changes, where shall we be? If God should alter the pattern, how should we know? If God should change direction, what should we do? Where should we go? But it's here, beloved. Glory. I'm asking you, are you in the experience of it? And just to speak a few words or so in another time, or even give messages in a time, whether accepted or so, doesn't mean to say you're in it. He didn't say he's the father of tongues, it says he's the father of lights. Hallelujah. He's the father of lights. Glory. And you know the lights that God has given in the natural universe, that sun, that moon, that's those stars. They're varied, are they? Oh, yes, but you hear about wandering stars that go out into blackness. That's right, lots of those. Read about those in Jude. But the great permanent lights, beloved, that he's fixed. You know where to find old Neptune, and you know where to find the pole star. We know where to find the constellation of the Great Bear, don't we? That's right. They're always there. The different positions on the horizons according to our relationship and our gyrations through space. But they're there. Amen. They're fixed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He fathered those, or at least he created those. He didn't gave birth to them in the sense of his will and his creative power. But we have been born out of his seed and nature and out of his very life, violent, terrible cross. This is it. And what a wonderful thing. You mustn't err, my beloved brethren. And you will remember that it's in relation to this great truth of the good gifts that Jesus himself speaks in Luke 11. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Or in the transcription of it in Matthew, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts, collected, you see, to them that ask him? It's all there. Good gifts, the Holy Ghost, the Father, every good, every perfect gift cometh down from above. Right. And you can be a very good gift to me, a perfect gift to me, but you've come from Father to me. Your mum, your dad didn't give you to me, nor anybody else. Father did. You see, Here then is a life conceived only living in the Spirit, in the true church and body of Christ. That's right, everything from God. Hallelujah. That's right. Are you a heavenly gift to people? Has heaven come to them when you come? I would like to think so. You've got a nurse. Isn't that boasting? No, it's sheer spiritual honesty. You've got to know. Praise be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of his own will, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us. That's right. That's right. Is that true? Listen to John. He came unto his own, quoting John 1:11-12. And his own received him not. So there comes another own now, an own will. Listen. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of God. Go on. Not of the will of man. That's right. Not of the will of man, but of God. The will of God, who is Spirit. The will of God, who is God and not man. And the blood of God. And you're begotten of it that way. That's right. You're begotten of God. Hallelujah. To be in this glorious experience. I take it then, beloved, that we see that early in the latter rain, and the husbandman's very patient, and he looks down and says, when will these people see this? When will these people that call themselves by my name understand that they're telling people I'm different, I've changed, I'm no longer a pure God? I don't care about sin, I don't care about immodesty, I don't care about worldliness anymore, I don't care about lusting after the things of flesh anymore. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. Now you ask yourself whether that's right. He's very patient, is our precious Lord. Very patient, isn't he? Peter said, oh, put the plough in, plough not up, finish it. He's very patient. And Lord, beloved, listen, as surely as he put the plough in and ploughed deep and sowed his seed, Jesus Christ, into the very gates of death, and he went down there, and as surely as the early rain brought forth those glorious people, so the latter rain, beloved, is going to bring in the harvest. We're going to be like it. Now you've got to be. If you're not baptized, if you're not filled, if you're not flooded, I'm not talking about whether you have been. I'm not questioning any experience you've had. Don't misunderstand. I'm saying if you are not now, there's something radical wrong. You've gone into sin. I have come back from a conference in which God, by his grace, some of us have been there, has moved in tremendous power, so that out of a conference of 200, I suppose when there was a great response in about the middle of the week, there were hardly 30 people left in their seats. tried. I didn't count them. I'll say hardly 30. In fact, you couldn't tell where they were on their seeking God. God moved. Well, you know why? Because one night God came in against sin in a tremendous way. And there was a tremendous repentance. And then there was a grave. Is that right, Bob?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And this is the way with God. This is the way with God. Are you there? Is Jesus your only love? And your glory. Is he? Is he your only life? Is he? Is he your only light so that you are light for him? That's all. You're unconscious of whether you are light or not. I don't suppose the sun knows it's shining. I don't know. We do, glory. But you know that he's the only light of your eyes. He's the light of your talk and of your speech. That's right. There's no darkness anymore, can't be. Not even when the tragedies of life come. Nothing. Not even when they say the place is full of devils. Glory to the God. What have they got to do with it? Hallelujah. Father of lights. Glory. Come on, beloved, let's pray. You'll forgive me if you wanted to be worshipping and I was on my feet, but I have to respond to the move of your spirit. Let's be in you. They do what you like.